Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. The Reverend Jeffrey Hemmer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does that hymn feel a little Thomas Kincaid-y? Entrust your days and burdens to God's almighty hand. He cares for you. No anxious thought, no worry, no self-tormenting care can win your Father's favor. His heart is moved by prayer. Take heart. Do not be dismayed. Yeah. What else are you selling? But then, this hymn is not written by Thomas Kincaid. It is far from a feel-good anthem. It's written by Paul Gerhardt. It's a song for when life feels as bad as it can possibly get. Do you know Gerhardt's story? You might know he was a prolific hymn writer, but his biography reads more like that of someone you would expect to write nihilistic poetry and atheistic screeds against God. His father died when he was 12, his mother when he was 14. The 30 Years' War raged all throughout his youth and early adulthood, killing 4.5 to 8 million Europeans. He matriculated to the University of Wittenberg in 1628, but he didn't graduate until 1642. It wasn't until he was 44 when he was finally ordained and called to a parish. He married 3 years later, and his wife bore him 5 children, but 4 of his children died before reaching adulthood, died before he did. He was defrocked after just 14 years in the ministry for refusing to compromise on subscription to the Formula of Concord. And while Gerhard was living without an appointment to a parish, living in Berlin without any reliable source of income, after she had battled a long and grave illness, his wife died. Eventually, he was appointed archdeacon in the small town of Lübben, but reports there indicate that his parishioners were cold and unsympathetic toward poor Pastor Gerhard. He died in 1676 after 7 years there. His memorial plaque reads, Theologos in cribo satanae versatus, a theologian sifted in Satan's sieve. That's the hymn writer exhorting you to entrust your days and burdens to God's most loving hand, reminding you that despite the trials, in the midst of the fire, God does indeed care for you. He demonstrates it on the cross. Therefore, O blessed heir of heaven, you'll hear the song resound of endless jubilation when you with life are crowned. In your right hand, your Maker will place the victor's palm, and you will thank him gladly with heaven's joyful psalm. Yesterday, you sang Gerhard's, O Lord, how shall I meet you? You've probably also sung his, "Why should cross and trial grieve me? And if God himself be for me, I will a host defy." Gerhard knew suffering. And suffering shaped him into a true theologian of the cross, made him a prolific hymn writer and comforter of millions who have sung his poetry since, and a strident preacher of the hope of the resurrection. You might have leveled a similar accusation against St. Peter for his seemingly glib words in this morning's epistle reading. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." But then, you know how it goes for St. Peter and the rest of the apostles too. These guys didn't get worldly accolades, cushy paychecks, and clergymen's discounts at the appliance stores for their lofty status as sent ones of the crucified Lord. They were hated, opposed, beaten. Tradition holds that St. Peter was crucified upside down, refusing to count himself worthy to be crucified upright as his Lord has been. This is a brotherhood of suffering, the church, the communion of saints. There is no other way. Repent of pining for the days of comfortable cultural Christianity. They aren't gone, they never were. And that's okay. If Paul Gerhardt were comfortable, he would never have written hymns you could sing with your grieving grandmother or your cancer-riddled spouse. He would never have taught you in song to resist your adversary, the devil, who prowls all around you like a roaring lion seeking to devour. If St. Peter were comfortable being carted all over the world in a proto-pope mobile, he would never have written this epistle, ending with, "After you have suffered a little while," because that's all this life in this veil of tears ever amounts to, a little while, a blink in eternity. "The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself strengthen, restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you forever in the resurrection. Until then, you may and should entrust your days and burdens, all of them, to God's most loving hand, to the hand still scarred by the marks of the nails that held him to the cross, demonstrating his unending, never failing love for you in the midst of trials and burdens. And pray, our hands and feet, Lord, strengthen. With joy our spirits bless, until we see the ending of all our life's distress. And so throughout our lifetime, keep us within your care. And at our end, then bring us to heaven to praise you there. In the name of Jesus, amen."